Amazing things. I love that song. It's one of my favorites. You will do amazing things. You are doing amazing things. And we here at the Center for Spiritual Living Midtown are all about supporting you in that. We're not here to tell you how to do it or what you should do, but we are here to help you with how, but not necessarily the what. You get to choose that. And the amazing things that show up in our lives, I think, are, and things that we do and create, sometimes we don't even recognize because they're so normal and ordinary to us. So welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living, whether you are here in person or in internet land. I was in La La Land this morning, but not anymore. Internet land. And the wonderful thing is we are gradually drawing people back to in person. So if you're looking for a place and a chance to be with like-minded people and people who love and affirm you, then this is the place to show up and bump elbows or hugs or simply stand this way and be honored and recognized for who you are and what you're all about. We are a place that does honor all people, and we recognize all people as expressions of the divine. We always start off our celebrations with, such is the nature of life, that all it asks and all it wants is the opportunity to appear. You're that opportunity. So am I, and so it is, and that alone is an amazing thing. So as we move into this month of looking at life and looking at work and looking at the wonder of work, we're going to be having a good time talking about it and thinking about it as we go forward. To know more about who we are, I invite you to listen now to a little video from our practitioners and others about that very thing, our declaration of principles.
I believe.
I believe in one God.
One absolute power and first cause to all things.
I believe that this power is perfect love.
And creates out of a desire to express love.
I believe all thought is creative, and how I choose to think creates my personal experience.
I believe in the unity of all life.
And the immortality of the individual soul.
Forever unfolding.
I believe.
I believe in the eternal goodness.
The eternal goodness of God.
The eternal loving kindness.
And the eternal givingness of God to all.
And so it is.
And so it is.
And so it is. I mentioned practitioners. Practitioners are folks who in this teaching have done the study, have done the work, have learned how to use these principles to transform their lives. And in doing so, they also learn how to do this for other people. So we license those who want to be and who demonstrate the ability to change and to make change. And today we're going to hear from one of our licensed practitioners, Maya, and she will be speaking to us live from her home. Maya.
Good morning, CSL Midtown. We are in a new month, so happy September, friends. As Dr. Bob said, mentioned about the topic for the month is called the Everyday Wonder of Work, and the topic for today is good work. It's often said that we can find our right vocation or our right work by taking a look at our childhood dreams, what job we used to say we wanted to do when we grew up, or what we played at during make-believe times. One of the games I used to play at around ages 9, 10, or 11 was school. Of course, I was always the teacher. I'm actually an only child, though, actually, so most of the time I was playing by myself anyway. But I put so much effort into it. I remember making name cards for the students so that they can sit in their assigned seats and having a little seating arrangements on my clipboard. And my classroom was divided into two sections with the main aisle in between, because I had two twin beds in the room and the name tags would be in nice little rows on the bed. So yeah, I was into it. The other thing I used to pretend to be when I was little was a singer. We will not get into the reasons why that didn't work out. But being a teacher wasn't an option for me either. Even when I was little, in my mind, playing school was just a game. I never wanted to be a teacher, and I never had any particular interest in schools or school settings. In fact, I remember in high school and maybe even college emphatically saying that I would never be a teacher. And I had highly developed reasonings and thoughts behind this, based on the role of women in society and the role of teachers in the Black community, and that I wouldn't be pigeonholed and boxed in. Plus, primary and secondary school teachers didn't make enough money for my taste. So anyway, long story short, I graduated from undergrad with a liberal arts degree and no job. My college friends who also graduated with liberal arts degrees, do they even have those degrees anymore? Because like, what are they for? Like my friends and I were toting these degrees, but we're still working in the same random dead-end jobs that we were in while we were in college. So I don't know who the first person in the group was to get the great idea that to be a teacher. But the word on the street was that if you wanted to make an adult-sized paycheck and have some job security with benefits and lots of time off, you could march your liberal arts degree toting self right on down to the school board and become a teacher. I did not admire my friends for doing that in the least. And oh, how I resisted joining the ranks. But alas, I caved. I signed up, became a high school English teacher for students who speak other languages, and I hated my life from day one. Let me tell you, it was bad. It was torture. And I know that this is Sunday service and we're supposed to be feeling uplifted here, but I am just telling the truth. Thank God, those were also the main years that I was studying a metaphysics like a beast. So I would literally pray my way into school, sitting in my car in the parking lot before I walked in the building, during lunch, right before the bell rang and it was time to go back to class, and sometimes even after school, again, in my car in the parking lot, thanking God that the workday was over. And I kid you not, I exaggerate not. I felt like I was in bondage to this good job that had great benefits, allowed me to spend time with my daughter. And people tend to find it admirable when they hear you're a teacher. People literally thank you for your service. So, you know those really religious or spiritual people who say that they hear messages from God and that God told me to do such and such? Well, I'm one of those people. Spiritual, though. And maybe I am religious since CSL and New Thought are officially religions, and I'm a fan. I'm a big fan. But yeah, I'm pretty keyed into my intuition, and I do sometimes get these profound messages that I know are from my higher consciousness, my higher self. And if, by the way, you're interested in knowing about how I'm not crazy and how what I'm about to say to you does make sense, be sure to sign up for Dr. Bob's class, Everyday Mystic. It's going to be held on Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. beginning at September 14th. So anyway, one summer, about 5 years into my high school teaching stint, I was lamenting going back to school in the fall. I prayed to God to tell me or show me what I needed to do to be released from that bondage. And God said to me, "Put your heart into it." Okay, it didn't really sound like that. I just did that for theatrics, but the message was just to put your heart into it. And it was a resounding message for me. But still, I was like, you have got to be kidding me. That was the last thing I wanted to do or hear, but it also made sense, and I have to admit that it also felt right. I knew that I would get more enjoyment out of it if I stopped resisting so much, because what we resist persists. And if I put my creative energy into it fully, rather than the haphazard way that I've been doing, I would get more joy. So, fast forward, I'm not saying things went perfectly, but I did have a great year where I really connected to the students and discovered the creativity and joy that I can bring to the classroom. At Unity and at the Universal Foundation for Better Living, which are the other New Thought organizations that I was studying at the time, they called their practitioner level professionals teachers. Putting my heart into it that last year and a half, as it turned out to be, as a public school teacher, really solidified the discussion-based approach to the classroom and to other learning settings that we now see showing up in the metaphysical classes and groups that I lead today. So, in putting my heart into it, I also found my vocation as a New Thought teacher and practitioner, and I'm grateful. So whatever tasks lies before you that you need to do, but don't particularly want to do, I invite you to put your heart into it. I actually did it again with cooking, which is work. I used to hate cooking, but I decided to change my mind and my attitude about it and just go ahead and dive in. And now I cook way more often. My experience is way more enjoyable and the food is tastier. And as I told the people in the Zoom room after service the other week, I intend to do the same thing with cleaning in general and cleaning in the bathroom in particular. So stay tuned. In the meantime, let's go into treatment. I'm actually pulling this treatment from the 10 Demandments of Prosperity by Dr. Stuart Grayson. He was a student of Raymond Charles Barker, and he has a treatment in here on page 44 that fits in pretty well with this morning's theme. So let's settle in to our treatment. As a community at CSL Midtown, we know that there is but one life, one mind, one presence, one action, one activity in the universe called God. It is the infinite intelligence, the universal one. It is a divine imperative, and it says, all that I have created is good. This universe is good, and all creatures are good. So recognizing this divine imperative, each one here enjoys greater clarity of consciousness, accepting the fact, the truth, the reality that he or she is a center of creative action. The divine affirmative, knowing that all is well, all is whole, all is harmonious, all is in divine order, all is perfect, right action. Through this time together, each one gets new insights into the truths about good work that liberate consciousness and free the individual. As a result, all are uplifted, enhanced in awareness, ready to move forward in life in a new frame of mind, inspired to think creatively, to work with ease, and to act intelligently and relate harmoniously. This word moves into the creative law of mind, and it is done, and we give thanks for it. And so it is.
I thank you, Maya. That was absolutely wonderful and a perfect, perfect example of that shift we all make between work and work. Here in the Science of Mind teaching, we divide life into four segments. So there's relationships, or love and relationships. There is prosperity. Because when you think about the areas of consciousness, these are the four that kind of go on the most. Relationships, prosperity, health, and making sure we are taking care of our health consciousness. And then, of course, today we're talking about work. So work is not just a matter of dragging yourself off to punch a time clock, as you have heard so well. My teacher, who I love and honor and work always, Kennedy Schultz, wrote this wonderful book called The Power, You Are the Power, A Guide to Personal Creation. I'm sorry, personal greatness. And now, right now, we're not doing much talking about personal greatness. We're in a life and a time and a world where people are talking a lot about how to survive, a lot about how to get by, a lot about how to adjust to all that's going on. We hear about all of the crazy stuff happening in the world and all of the news media, which, of course, dramatizes it quite nicely to get everybody excited. You know, the two things that get response in the news media, on the internet, and all of those places is fear and anger. So things are structured in the way they're communicated to us to try to elicit that from us. So I don't know that, so I think we've gotten too caught up in responding and reacting to what's going on around us. And this teaching invites us to rise above that and take charge of our thinking and take charge of our consciousness and begin to see the world in a different way and see the world from the perspective of we're perfect, whole, complete beings. Nothing about you is broken. Nothing about you is lacking. Nothing about you is missing anything. Now, you may feel that way. You may get told that way. But whoever you are, wherever you come from, ultimately and finally, you are well. All is well. And wherever you are in life, whether you're just getting started or whether you're coming to the end of your time on this planet, all is well and continues to be well. When I think about work, and when I think about Kent, some of the things that Kennedy said about that, he starts off the section on work in his book and says, first, foremost, and always, work is service. Work is service. Service to people, service to humanity. When you are working at anything, you are serving humanity. You are serving other people. Else, why would they pay you if that weren't true? You know? So in his great sense of humor, he goes on and talks about that. The piece that I want to really zero in on is that service piece is not just about doing things for other people. Because for work to be good work, which is what we're talking about today, it's got to serve us as well. Which gets back to what Jana was singing about and what Maya was talking about, and that is, it is the expression of your gifts and your love and your concerns and your important thoughts into the world, but in a way that serves you as well. That finds as much joy in just doing it. You know, one of the questions people often ask when they're thinking about coming to better ideas about work, one of them is would you do this if you weren't being paid for it? And that's a great question. Yeah, I would do this if I weren't being paid for it. I couldn't keep my mouth shut because this is good news and I'm going to talk about it somewhere, somehow, whether people are paying me or not. Now, it doesn't mean I don't want to be paid, but it means that the exchange for me is not as much about money as it is about the energetic, emotional, personal exchange. And I know the money, which is another quadrant of consciousness, will take care of itself because I'm working in that area as well. One of the other things that he said that I think is really important is we need to realize that our work, that giving of the gifts, that getting in touch with who we are and what we bring to the world is our power source. It's not something that's depleted. You know? You know that depleted feeling like she talked about on Monday morning or maybe Friday night or Sunday night? Now, I want to say something real quick. This is about you whether you are retired or not and whether you are a student or not, because you've still got those areas of life. You always will have areas in your life where you are sharing your gifts and bringing value to other people. That's the point of work. And when we can shift it out of that work is about a job that someone else gives me, job or a place or a thing to do for other people that other people are in charge of, then we stop feeling depleted and we start feeling energized. My work is my power, it's my way to bring something good to the world and good to myself because I get to study, I get to immerse myself, I'll be in classes for the rest of my life, all of that kind of thing, which just brings me joy. So I'm being enjoying this and being joyful regardless. And so the idea is work is power, not power over other people, but personal power, the power and energy of life itself moving in and through you. Some people talk a lot about job pressure. You have pressure from your job. We have a Tuesday group that often meets, and job pressure is one of the things that comes up. We meet on Tuesdays. We always meet on Tuesdays, but people come and go with their treatment requests, their prayer requests, and job pressure is one of them. And Kennedy once again says, there is no such thing as job pressure. The pressure's not in the job, the pressure's in us. That's the part of this teaching I don't always like. You can't blame the devil or anybody else for things that are going on that you don't like, because it's all in our consciousness. We are the ones. The good news of that is, if the pressure is in me, then I have the power to change that and do something about it and bring something greater into the world instead. And even though it may look like that's not possible, it really is, and it's really there for us. Some years ago, I had a church member and a practitioner, a person who came to me for counseling, not here, nobody you know, and I'll call her Mary. Mary was working as an assistant principal at a school, and she came to me because she hated the place. She was having a long commute. She was not happy with the commute. She was not happy with the way things were going with her boss. She hated him. She thought he hated her, and in fact, she was quite convinced of that. And every day when she'd get to work, there'd be some other conflict, some other chaos, some kind of craziness. So we started treating for her to have a better work experience. And we kept affirming that, and week after week, and nothing was happening. And we're thinking, what's up? Something's missing. What's not happening here? And it was exactly what Maya talked about, and that is, it occurred to me one day when we were working together, do you love that boss? Well, you can imagine the explicative I got before the no. Heck no. Blankety, blankety, blank, no. That blankety, blank, 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 blank person is not anybody I could ever love. And I said, well, then you're not ever going to have anything but unhappiness and pressure there. Not because of him, but because of your attitude, your feelings, your beliefs. So let's try this week. Try it when you walk in the door of the school, without saying it out loud, but saying it in your mind and your heart, I love you, John, assuming that was his name. And at first she kind of wiggled and squiggled and balked at that. And I said, you don't have to tell him. You don't even have to pretend it's true. Just say it to yourself. And every time you think about that person, I love you. I love you. And you know what happened. It didn't take but a few weeks before the two of them were getting along very well. The turning point came when one morning she got there a little late. She got into her desk and there was a whole lot of stuff waiting for her. And John brought her coffee. And when that happened, it was like she melted. And all of that anger and hate and resentment and tracking all the bad things he'd done to her over the years, all of that just melted away. And in its place was a glimmer of appreciation for John. And it grew from there. Within 6 months, she was offered another job, and like right close to her home. She was commuting like an hour and a half every day to her work. And suddenly her commute went down to about 10 minutes. But she had to have a referral from John, because John was her lead. And she asked John, and he said, well, of course, you're one of the best workers I've ever worked with. And she was shocked by that. But she got the referral, she went there, she got the job she wanted, and over the next few years, as she grew into her own principalship in a really creative school, John was her go-to for help when she ran into problems. So the whole transformation of her work life happened with her changing her mind. And this is where I always say, if Chan can cook, you can cook. It's that whole idea that if one human being can do this, then anyone can. Because it's not about skill, it's about consciousness. Now you may come out differently and it may look differently for you, but if you've got a place in your job world where that's happening for you, where you just dread it, find a way to bring some joy. I'll do one more example. I wasn't going to tell this many stories, but I can't help it when I get started. So here we go. One more, and it's about me. I was traveling during a sabbatical time and landed at the Grand Canyon, and There's a whole lot of circumstances. Because of that, I couldn't go anywhere else at the time. So I was camping there and decided, well, maybe if I get a job here, I can afford, I can go somewhere else if I want to. So I went in and talked to them, and they said, well, the only job we have is as the front, the manager at the front of the steakhouse. So you'd be in charge of the turnover and keeping, getting people moving, keeping things working in the front of the house. Not the cook part, but that part. And I said, well, I've never worked in a restaurant before, but I'll try. She said, well, have you hosted people? I mean, yeah, I can do that. So I jumped into the job not knowing what to expect. My first day, I came away just frustrated as heck. And then at some point, I thought, you know, what I'm going to do here, instead of making this about me having to be good at the restaurant business, I'm going to make this about me having the opportunity to meet people from all over the world. And they were all coming from all over the world, because this was the Grand Canyon. And it was the primo steakhouse on the canyon, right on the edge of the rim. So every night I got to go and stand behind a podium and watch the sunset into the Grand Canyon while I met people and talked to people from all over the world. Now, my thing was to do the same thing, I love you. And didn't say it out loud, but to everybody. One of the real tasks for that job was to keep people in the restaurant, because our wait times would sometimes be 2.5-3 hours, because it was the best place to eat. And we would, of course, increase our business by having people stay and eat. We had the biggest year they had ever had at the steakhouse at the Grand Canyon during the worst year of attendance they'd ever had in the Grand Canyon. And I got lots of attaboys, and we love you, and we bless you, we want you to stay forever. And they tried to promote me, and I didn't want to be promoted because I didn't want to give up being with the people. And for about the next 10 years, I was able to go to the Grand Canyon and get free food anytime I wanted it, because they were so grateful for the money I made them that year. They didn't pay a whole lot, but I had a great, but it didn't matter. I had a great time. I met amazing people. Crazy, off the wall, wonderful, tired tourists. We just tried to make life easy for them. That's what it's about. It's finding your gift. What is your specific gift, regardless of what your job description may say, regardless of what things are in there? Because that job would not exist without you. And that's another core idea from Kennedy that I have carried with me since then. That wouldn't exist without you. The other piece that's really, really important is you're not your job either. You know, when you introduce yourself to people at a party or socializing, you say, hey, I'm Bob. Who are you? Well, I'm John. I'm a lawyer. I'm Susie. I'm the head of a company. We usually describe ourselves as who we are by what we do and by what our jobs are. And that's not a bad thing. As long as you're clear that you are not your job. Your job is just something you do. It's a place where you bring your gifts and you give them. And retirement is not even what you are if you use that as your job. Because retirement is simply a matter of changing how you work and where you work and how you're rewarded. It's different because you're not in a, quote, job. But you're still giving your gifts and receiving the value from it. Because, see, there's more to all of us than what we do, what we say, what we appear to be. There's a creative energy that's inside of you that wants to be expressed. That's why we call this creative expression, not work. Your creative expression that allows you to find a way to be creative and to bring who you are. Your personality is a part of the gift you have to all of us and to the world. And that's a rich and wonderful gift. It's kind of that difference between whether you start off in the morning with a hi-ho, hi-ho, it's off to work I go, or I-o, it's off to work I go. It all depends on you as to which way that's going to go and which way you want it to be. And I promise you, if you go after that, what you desire to express, then you're going to have this amazing option and possibility and opportunity to give your gifts and joyfully find them back. So I had a whole another whole section here, but we're not going to do that because you already know it. It's all about creative process. Where does everything start? It starts in the head. It starts with the idea. It starts with the feeling, the thought, the impulse. God speaking to you, as Maya said, or your intuition speaking to you and saying, this is who you are. This is what you want. This is the desire. And then following up on that. And then, because as soon as you say yes, the universe says yes back to you. You know? And then, who's going to stop that? There's nothing to stand against the infinite when it is saying to yes to your yes. It can't. And so life unfolds accordingly. And you turn your work out away from work and into creative expression. I'll close with an old story of some guys working on this building. And you know, someone came up to them and asked some questions, and they asked the first person they came to, so what are you doing? And the answer was, well, I'm trying to make a living to support my family and to pay my bills and to take care of stuff. Okay, that's interesting. He walked over to another worker and said, hey, what are you doing? He's like, well, you know, I love to cut stone, and I'm carving these stones so they'll all fit together into a building. And then he walked over to the master mason and said, what are you doing? He said, I'm building a cathedral. In other words, he wasn't caught in the minutiae, he was caught in the big vision. What are you doing? I'm creating a cathedral. So I invite you, as you think about your work, create a cathedral. Create a cathedral, and no matter how simple it may look, whether it's schoolwork, whether it's retirement work, whether it's all these other things in between, because you will find such great joy and such great freedom from doing it. So I'd like to invite you, because we have enough time here, to do a little bit of a meditation with me, to take these ideas and let them sink in and soak in. Big deep breath and let it go. A second deep cleansing breath. Imagine it goes all the way to your toes, bringing life and light and energy and freshness. And it releases, taking away any shadows, darkness, pain, discomfort, any of that. And then allowing your mind, your consciousness, to be set free to that larger space beyond your body. That deeper awareness of life and what it's about. You do that by smelling the smells, by feeling the air around you, by hearing the sounds. If you're doing this with your eyes open, you can connect by seeing the nature around you, seeing the world you're surrounded by. And from this place, we recognize that there is one power and one life and one energy, and we are in the midst of it. It is everything that we are. It has created everything of itself and nothing else. Therefore, we must be part of it. So when the whispers come to us and the thoughts come to us and the ideas, these are not separate from the infinite. They're always engaged with the infinite. And so we take a moment and open ourselves to the idea of I am an expression of this infinite power. And part of that power is expressed through me as my gifts, as the things that are my talents. And I think about my talents and I allow the door to open for me to find ways to express them. Whether it's music or dance or office work or spelling or any of the things that we think of that we can contribute to life. Some people are very talented at learning. So I open my heart to my talents. and I allow my heart to open and free them to be more fully expressed. And I breathe in and I breathe out. And beyond those talents, I'm aware of how much good there is in my life and how much is a result of who I am, who I've loved, who I love now. And I fall into deep gratitude. Gratitude that I'm created as I am, that I am the expression of the divine in a certain way, that my talents are the infinite speaking, breathing, creating through me as me. So that as I give, I receive. As I celebrate the joy in others, I celebrate the joy for myself. And I settle into this with great ease, great gratitude, and I trust with all of my heart, all of my being, that the infinite universe that I live in, that moves within me, hears my word and says yes. Yes, yes, yes. So I anticipate opportunities showing up that I hadn't thought of before. Opportunities to express. Because this yes will respond back to me through action, through places. So I take this yes, I embrace it. I know that this now is done in consciousness. I will continue it as needed. But in this moment, it's complete. So I let it be so. And so it is. So it is. So let's now hear from our wonderful man of all talents, Vince.
Thank you, Dr. Bob. Everybody, what an awesome talk that meditation got me. Just right here, because it goes from here to here, and then it becomes reality in our experience. So if you will with me, we'll do our affirmation of prosperity, and you can give online at www.cslmidtown.org/donate, or click the QR code, scan that, and it will take you right there, and you can set up a ongoing donation or a one-time donation, whichever works for you. So if you will with me, say, I live in a universe of abundance. I freely and joyfully give. I join in the divine flow. And all that I share with life returns to me, multiplied abundantly. And so it is. And we've got class coming up. Dr. Bob will talk a little bit about that. Yep. And we'll be back here next week. So come join us. Mm-hmm.
Yes, we have a class coming up on the 14th, and you can register for that online. It's called The Everyday Mystic. It is looking at the idea that all of this receptivity that we have is an everyday process that oftentimes we don't even notice that we're involved in it and that we're doing it. So I invite you to consider that. It's not going to be a class about mysticism, learning about the various kinds of mysticism and all the mystics and stuff from history. It's going to be participating in your own mystical process. And you may not think of yourself as a mystic, but you are, especially if you're in this teaching where you're thinking about and working with the idea of consciousness expressing. It's a very mystical process. So we'll talk more about that in the class. You sign up online. I'm really excited about it. We already have a class, so it's definitely happening. We have people who have registered, and it will be strictly online on our Zoom link that many of you are watching today. Also, coming up this month, the whole month is devoted to our love, our work, and our love for our work. The last Sunday of the month is Practitioner Sunday. And that is going to be a first time here for, that as far as I know, I don't know that there's been one. The practitioners will be in charge of the whole service. They will cover the talk and all of that. You'll get to hear some wisdom like you heard this morning and like you hear every week, but it'll be all them and not me. I will be at a retreat, So they're covering while I'm away, but it's more than them covering. This is really an celebratory experience when you get to hear them back to back talking about the issues that they'll talk about. So be sure and put that on your calendar to be here. We're grateful that our in-person is growing, that we each week have a couple of more people and a couple of more and another one that shows up. And as we move on into September, I am confident that that will grow and continue to grow. One more thing, and that is consider sticking around if you are here in the room, because right after the end of the broadcast, those who are with us on Zoom will be present on back in the back of the room. We'll put them on the screen, so you can see them. But come say hello, meet them. You know these people, many of them. And it's just we are a hybrid celebration now. So it's a hybrid between online and here. So we want to help you stay connected across those lines as much as possible and not really to have two separate groups. So and it changes back and forth. There are people watching this online who were here in person last week. So it goes back and forth all over the place. So I'm very excited about all of that. I'm very grateful to be here. Thank you for coming. Thank you for being part of this. And let's join together in the closing affirmation of life. And it says, I leave this place now knowing something better than I knew before. I go forth into the world with a heart full of love and a mind full of good sense. I look at the world in a greater way, knowing that I have within me everything I need to create the life I desire. I give thanks for this understanding, and I am grateful for the spirit of life that lives through me. And so it is. Thank you all.